Good morning and welcome to Overeaters Anonymous, a vision for you big book study. My name is Sherry M. and I am a grateful recovered compulsive overeater living in Wyoming. Today is Thursday, October 6, 2022. And today we are reading from the big book in the chapter More About Alcoholism. And we are at page 33, reading the first paragraph only. Today's readers are Lorraine M., Adrian M., and Kara L. is our generous backup today. Okay, the reference number for Wednesday, October 5th, 10 a.m. Eastern Time meeting is 19,482. And the share ID for Thursday, October 6th, 7 a.m. Eastern Time meeting is 19,488. OA Preamble. Overeaters Anonymous is a fellowship of individuals who, through shared experience, strength, and hope, are recovering from compulsive overeating. We welcome everyone who wants to stop eating compulsively. There are no dues or fees for members. We are self-supporting through our own contributions, neither soliciting nor accepting outside donations. OA is not affiliated with any public or private organization, political movement, ideology, or religious doctrine. We take no position on outside issues. Our primary purpose is to abstain from compulsive eating and compulsive food behaviors and to carry the message of recovery through the 12 steps of OA to those who still suffer. Our sole purpose, OA's fifth tradition, states, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. At a Vision for You Big Book study, our message is that people who suffer from compulsive overeating can recover through abstinence and the practice of the 12 steps and 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. I will now ask Patty F. to read the 12 steps.
Good morning. This is Patty F. in Massachusetts, a compulsive overeater. One, we admitted we were powerless over compulsive overeating, that our lives had become unmanageable. Two, came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. Three, made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood him. Four, made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. Five, admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrongs. Six, were entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. Seven, humbly asked him to remove our shortcomings. Eight, made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. Nine, made direct amends to such people wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. 10, continued to take personal inventory and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. 11, sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood him, praying only for knowledge of his will for us and the power to carry that out. And 12, having had a spiritual awakening as a result of these steps, we tried to carry this message to compulsive overeaters and practice these principles in all our affairs. Thanks.
Thanks so much, Patty. And I'll now ask Debbie E. to read the 12 traditions.
Good morning. This is Debbie in Montana. I am a compulsive overeater, and these are the 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. One, our common welfare should come first. Personal recovery depends upon OA unity. Two, for our group purpose, there is but one ultimate authority, a loving God as he may express himself in our group conscience. Our leaders are but trusted servants. They do not govern. Three, the only requirement for OA membership is a desire to stop eating compulsively. Four, each group should be autonomous except in matters affecting others or OA as a whole. Five, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. Six, an OA group ought never endorse, finance, or lend the OA name to any related facility or outside enterprise, lest problems of money, property, and prestige divert us from our primary purpose. Seven, every OA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. Eight, Overeaters Anonymous should remain forever non-professional, but our service centers may employ special workers. 9. OA, as such, ought never be organized, but we may create service boards or committees directly responsible to those they serve. 10. Overeaters Anonymous has no opinion on outside issues. Hence, the OA name ought never be drawn into public controversy. 11. Our public relations policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We need always maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, films, television, and other public media of communication. 12. Anonymity is the spiritual foundation of all these traditions, ever reminding us to place principles before personalities. And with that, I will pass.
Thanks so much, Deb E. And how our meeting works. Our meeting focuses on the directions for recovery described in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We read a paragraph or two from the literature, then stop and share on what was read. Anyone can share, but we ask that you keep your sharing to the topic and literature that we are discussing, and that you keep your share to approximately 3 minutes, and I will be timing. I'm a little noise will go off, and that'll be your time. Singleness of purpose reminds us to identify as compulsive overeaters only. Our abstinence requirement for moderators is 1 year, and for readers is 6 months. There is no abstinence requirement for sharing on topic. This meeting does request that your sharing be directly linked to what was read. We are sharing what the directions in the Big Book mean to us. To share, press star 1 to unmute. Once you are done sharing, let us know by saying pass and then press star 1 to mute your phone. In order to have a quiet meeting, everyone's phone except the speaker should be muted. Today, we resume our study of the Big Book on page 33, reading the first paragraph only, and I will ask Lorraine N. to begin reading for us. Thanks, Lorraine.
Good morning, and thank you. Good morning, everyone. May I be heard?
Yep. Yes. Yep, go ahead. Now we cannot hear you.
I'm sorry. I had trouble unmuting. Okay. Good morning, everyone. Mm-hmm. Lorraine N. in Oregon. This case contains a powerful lesson. Most of us have believed that if we remained sober for a long stretch, we could thereafter drink normally. But here is a man who at 55 years found he was just where he left off at 30. We have seen the truth demonstrated again and again. Once an alcoholic, always an alcoholic. Commencing to drink after a period of sobriety, we are in a short time as bad as ever. If we are planning to stop drinking, there must be no reservation of any kind, no lurking notion that someday we will be immune to alcohol. Well, I have this whole paragraph highlighted, and I should probably recite it in the first person every day. This is definitely me, although I never had that many years of abstinence. If I had any kind of abstinence, it was because I was white knuckle dieting or doing a whole bunch of other things I used to do to maintain a reasonable body weight. But so I tried everything out there like most of us. And I've been abstinent, and I've picked up again, and it was worse than ever. And I was born with this disease. I'll die with this disease. A few years ago, we had a local retreat here, and the speaker wrote on the blackboard, no lurking notion, and they left it up there for the whole weekend. And it was a marvelous retreat. The speaker was terrific. And I left that retreat and went straight to the grocery store for my binge foods. And this is the hideousness of this disease. I thought, well, now I have all this great information. I'll start tomorrow. And tomorrow never came. And finally, someone directed me to this particular meeting 3 years ago, where I finally started to understand this book and the message. And I have surrendered. I have found my higher power. And I come to this meeting every day because I need to hear the message every day and I need to live in the solution. And this is the only thing I've ever found that helps me do that one day at a time. Let's see. Yeah, so anyway, if you're new, my best advice to you is to just keep coming here, keep listening. You know, if it takes 20 sponsors, do that. This works. It really does. If we work it, you know, and today this is the best thing that I've found in my life. And I know that my mental twist, I heard this on another meeting, is like a parasite in my brain. And I constantly have to treat that. And with that, I'll pass. Thanks for letting me share.
Hey, thanks so much, Lorraine, for getting us started today. And I'm going to be taking a lineup. And I just want to quickly remind the group, especially if you're new to us and you don't know our format, that although we value your experience, we ask that you limit your sharing to every third day in order that others might share their experiences too. So if you've shared on any Vision for You meeting on Wednesday or Tuesday, we ask that you pass today and let others share. So who would like to share? Please give me your name one at a time, and I'll do my best to write them down in order.
Wendy W.
Stephen
G. Mary C. Mary Ellen.
Okay, I heard.
Linda W.
Yep, I have, so far I have Linda W., there was someone that came in before Stephen, and then I have Mary Ellen C. Wendy
Mary
B.
C.
Wendy B. and Mary Z. Okay, I have Linda W., Wendy B., Stephen, I didn't get his last initial, Mary Ellen C., and then I think it's Mary Z. Anyone else? All right, folks, let's go ahead and start. Go ahead, Linda W., you're up.
Deborah G.
And I'll add you at the bottom there, Deborah. Got it. Okay, go ahead, Linda.
Hi, this is Linda W. from Las Vegas. Boy, this is a very powerful, powerful paragraph. I didn't believe that it really is that you can't take that one compulsive bite. I was abstinent for a long, long time, and then when I started back, I not only was worse, I was terrible. I couldn't stop eating, and it was the most horrible thing in the world. So until I got on my knees and prayed to God, and I guess the desperation got to me for, and I'm not abstinent long, but for whatever reason, food has become neutral, like overnight, boom, it's unbelievable. We went on this cruise, and I went crazy on the cruise, and when I got back, the desperation, I didn't have a good time because of the eating, and although the cruise was wonderful, and I did have a good time because the cruise was lovely, but the eating part of it really got to me, and I said, this is just not worth it, and besides, I didn't feel very well, so if anybody doesn't believe that this disease is not an ongoing thing, I have experienced firsthand, and it is an ongoing situation where you just have to work your program, stay around, keep coming back, and thank you for allowing me to share. Linda W., Las Vegas.
Thanks, Linda W. Wendy B. is up next, followed by Stephen. Go ahead, Wendy.
Good morning. This is Wendy B., recovered in Arizona. And so the line, you know, once an alcoholic, always an alcoholic, is very real to me. You know, I do consider myself as having an addictive personality. I've proved to myself over and over, you know, I have an addictive mind and body. And, you know, I've used many substances and behaviors to try to fill my empty hole inside. And, you know, binge eating is considered a behavioral addiction. And I've had many other behavioral addictions, like, you know, severely biting my nails, gambling, over-exercising, taking anything and everything to the extremes, dieting, you know, controlling others, religious addiction. And, I believe my sugar addiction is a chemical or substance addiction with an allergic reaction to a substance, a physical dependency. And I've had many of those too, cigarettes, marijuana, alcohol. You know, I would try something that made me feel good, and I would think more is always better, you know, until it was controlling me instead of me controlling it. And so I recognize now I only have, you know, a daily reprieve from my addictions. I'm not cured. The monster is still inside of me, you know, waiting to gain the upper hand again, you know, wanting to destroy me in the process. And, you know, so daily I do the work necessary to keep a clear head, you know, to stay reliant on God and let Him meet my deep needs that would in the past, you know, drive me to a substance, you know, to numb the pain of my discontentment. And, you know, today I can choose that God is enough, that my life is a good one, you know, and I can choose to be content instead of always wanting more or something different. And I'm just so grateful for program for providing me the answers. And thank you for letting me share.
Thanks so much, Wendy. Next up is Stephen.
Hi, good morning. I'm Stephen G. I'm a recovered compulsive overeater in Toronto, Canada. So this chapter is trying to reinforce to me the principle of this, the principles of this disease, which is that it's permanent, it's progressive, and it's fatal. And this is the first of four examples that it's going to use to teach us about that. And in this man's case, he, for 20 plus years, he's been abstinent, if you want to call it that. But the mental obsession convinces him that he can drink again. And then the allergy of the body ensures that he will die from drinking. And it's a reminder to me that no matter how much I have in terms of recovery time, it really makes no difference. I am still as vulnerable today as I was yesterday. And I have to do the same thing over and over and over. And the only real solution for the lurking notion was being given the information about the disease and then going out and experiencing the disease and then coming to the conclusion that I was doomed. And once I was backed into a corner, and as Bill Wilson says in Bill's story, quicksand surrounded me in all directions, then I was willing to do what was necessary. And what I found is that one day at a time, the solution is much, much more powerful than this disease. So although the disease is fatal and it's progressive and it's permanent, one day at a time, I have a solution to this disease, and I can live peacefully, knowing that I will be protected so long as I do certain specific things, and that's entire abstinence, plus working the 12 steps as they're outlined in the big book, cleaning up the wreckage of the past in 1 through 9, and then in 10 through 12, maintaining that connection and growing that connection. And when I do that, I can be guaranteed of recovery, peace, and serenity. But as soon as I stop doing that, the lurking notion comes back and the disease. So I'm very grateful, and thanks for listening to this.
Thanks, Stephen. And next up is Mary Ellen T.
Hi, this is Mary Ellen T. Zantango. Can I be heard?
Yes, you can. Thank you. I correct your initial. Okay, thanks. Go ahead.
Yeah, hi, I'm calling in from Oregon, and I just wanted to share my story because I've, I always have the mental twist in my head. You know, we learn in the doctor's opinion that we have the double whammy, that we have an allergy of the body and we have an obsession of the mind. And when I came into the program and into A Vision for You and started listening to great special editions that helped me to get clear about my foods, I have never had any issue with putting down the sugar and realizing that the sugar was the prized ring contender in my boxing ring in my head. And but what I never really fully conceded to is that fats was an issue for me. And so consequently, I've had this lurking notion that that waxes and wanes in my head, and I will achieve entire abstinence and feel like I'm at a place of neutrality. And then at some point in time, because I have this this double whammy that lives in my head. I achieve this this abstinence for a long stretch, and then I start to think that, no, it's probably not a big deal if there's some fats in my salad, or if there's or if I pick pieces out of the pot, or if I take a or if I eat this fat serving, I'm going to be okay. And slowly what starts to happen is not a binge, but food behaviors start to show up. And so I'll achieve these 6 months, 9 months, a year of entire abstinence, and then I'll have a relapse. But, you know, I've always called it like a food behavior or a slip. And I realized this past time, I've got to call it a relapse, because I've got to make fat the prized ring contender in that boxing ring in my head, because I cannot have any lurking notion. I want to achieve that long-term abstinence. And I hear you all sharing that in these meetings. And, man, the words in this big book and how we pick it apart has really helped me to be able to, learn this lessons. And I've got to be black and white about my food plan. I can't have any gray areas about fats, and that fats really aren't that big of a deal. And I got to recoil from it like it's a hot flame, just like I do with the sugars. So I just wanted to share my story with you all, and that's it for me. I pass.
Oh, thanks so much for sharing today, Mary Ellen. And next up is Mary Z, followed by Deborah G. Go ahead, Mary.
Hi, this is Mary C, not Z. But
okay, thank you.
Okay, thank you. Anyway, this really, really hit home this morning. Sometimes I still think I'm normal. A normal eater, but I'm not. And once an alcoholic, always an alcoholic. Once an overeater, always an overeater. Yesterday, I help at church once a month, and we put on a big pasta dinner for the community and raise a lot of money. And my job is to go in there, and I spend all day there. I'm there for at least 8 to 10 hours. And then early in the morning, we package hundreds of cookies in little packages to give out with the meals. And I was fine. I packaged all those cookies, never even wanted a cookie. Then we were cleaning. I was tired. I was late. There was all these cookies left over, and people were saying, oh, please take some cookies. There's so many left over. So I had two cookies, and because I was tired, I was weak, and all day I prayed to God, please don't let me eat any of these cookies. And there I go. You know, it's that mental twist. Like they said, somebody said it was like a parasite. It is like a parasite. You forget, once an alcoholic is always an alcoholic. And that just showed me, when I'm tired and weak, it just creeps right back so fast, so easy, without you even know. I didn't even think about it. It just was automatic, an automatic reaction. And so I now realize I am not a normal eater. I am not. I am a compulsive overeater, and that is something I must get through my thick head, that I am a compulsive overeater and always will be. And today is a different day, and I feel strong. I feel great. And I know with the grace of God, I'll be fine. So with that, I pass. And thank you.
Thanks, Mary C. And I didn't catch where you were calling from, so people can find you on the phone.
Ohio.
Oh, perfect. Thanks so much, Mary. Okay,
thank you.
Thanks. Next up is Deborah G., and then I'm going to take another lineup. So go ahead, Deborah.
Oh, thank you so much. Thank you so much for your service this morning, moderating, and everyone that's made this meeting possible. And welcome to all the newcomers. You don't ever have to live like you've been living. And thank you all for 12-stepping me today and reminding me. I'm Deborah G. from Arizona, and I am just so grateful to be able to be on this meeting and be reminded, because my mom, I just learned, has dementia. And so I know right away someone has shared on this meeting, something happens close to God, something happens close to God. And that's what I want to do. That's what I'm doing, more prayer and meditation, more just being with that divine loving presence and listening with the prayer and the meditation and talking to my sponsor and helping other people, being of service, reaching out, writing. Recently, I've had some alcoholic food using dreams. It's interesting. I've had with my alcohol, with drinking, but I'd never had, and it's been frequent. And so I'm calling people to ask them about that and telling my sponsor, because I learned if I talk about it, it takes the power out of it. You know, I don't want to keep any secrets. I don't want to keep it in my head with that disease. You know, I don't trust this disease. So, you know, just doing that and helping people, doing my day, being of service, smiling, any way I can help. And I'm just really grateful that I can be on this meeting today. And everyone have a beautiful, blessed day. That's all I have.
Oh, thanks so much, Deborah G. from Arizona. And before I take another lineup, I'd like to let everyone know, in case you joined us after we started, that we are reading from the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous, and we are on page 33, and we have unpacked that first paragraph only, which starts out, "This case contains a powerful lesson." And just a friendly reminder, if you shared on any vision meeting on Wednesday or Tuesday, please hold back today. Otherwise, I am ready to take your names, and I'll do my best to hear them correctly. Go ahead.
Monica K., California.
Monica K.
Leslie W.
Leslie W.
Melanie H.
Melanie H. Okay, we could start with
Noelle
E. three.
Noelle E.
Oh, what was that? Noelle,
Noelle
E. Okay, Noelle E. Give it a second. Okay, let's start with these four. Monica, go ahead. Unmute.
Good morning. My name is Monica Faye from California. Thank you, Cheryl, for your service and everybody else sharing. Most of us believe that if we remain sober for a long stretch, we could therefore drink normally. So that's my thinking for 30 years that I had a food that I remember having bulimia. I started when I was a teenager. I stop. I'm most able to stop. Of course I stop. I stop after, even for a couple hours, I stop. Or then for even for one time, I think for a year, but I never was able to being stopped. I always went back to food. So my mind was so tricky. And remember that one time when I stopped for one day, or when I was able to eat half a cookie and wanted to remember only that and didn't remember the fact that I throw up 5 times per day, eating thousands of calories for the other 300 days of the year. So that's how my mind is operating. I love my sponsor told me, not normal. Like, my thinking about food and about people and about situation is not normal, which is a blessing, because knowing that is, and having so much pain, I pray that the day at the time I'm willing to ask for a help. And also, this is, we have seen the truth demonstrating again and again that once an alcoholic, always an alcoholic. So I never wanted to believe that. So when I believed my way, I always went back to food. But I saw a division. People believe differently. They did believe that when they are overeaters, they always will be overeaters. They are abstinent for a long time. So I have a choice to believe myself and always go back to food. And not only food, it's a misery, depression, suicidal, like not wanting to leave, pushing people away. Or I can choose a day at a time, because it's hard for me to believe for the, like I just have to keep for today, the day at a time that I can choose like other people believe, and a day at a time I'm noticing that I'm abstinent. So thank you so much, and I will pass.
Thank you, Monica. And next up is Leslie W., followed by Melanie H. Go ahead, Leslie.
Hey, thanks so much, Sherry. This is Leslie W., calling in from Tennessee, a recovered compulsive overeater from Knoxville, Tennessee. And I wanted to comment about this particular paragraph because it reminds me of my need to have boundaries and accountability in my life in regards to my food. And for me, this is crucial to my recovery as a compulsive overeater, because I know that I am not a normal eater. I know that delusion has been smashed in my head from countless times of failure to eat as a normal eater, and the misery that has caused me. And you know, I've often wondered. I've heard of alcoholics sort of once they become sober, sort of going about their life and maybe not attending meetings or not working the steps the way they used to. You know, they seem to kind of go on with their lives, and I don't know if that's true or not, but sometimes I get that impression, and it's not the case for me. You know, I know that today if I work through the steps and then think that somehow you know, I can just go on about my life and not take active steps to protect my abstinence. You know, I still talk to my sponsor daily. I still commit my food, you know, even after 6 years of abstinence, every day. You know, there are certain things that I do every single day to protect what I have. I don't want to lose it, and I know how fast I can lose it. I know how easily I can lose it. And so, you know, I guess the question I have to consistently ask myself is, what am I willing to do today to protect what I have? Because if I don't work to protect it, I will lose it. And freedom isn't free. If I want to have freedom in my life, then there are certain guidelines and certain disciplines that I am called to follow, and that gives me I hear my time. That gives me peace of mind and neutrality today. So with that, I pass. Thanks.
Thanks so much, Leslie. Melanie H. is up next, followed by Noelle E. Go ahead, Melanie.
Good morning. Can I be heard?
Yes, you can. Go ahead.
Okay, great. Good morning. So I was thinking in this reading about when I just had started program, yeah, I was 6 months in or something, and I was doing amazing, and I was just like the best I'd ever been around food neutrality and service and everything. And I had a sponsor, and then my sponsor left the program and joined a different program, and it was just so humbling to think like I didn't even, I wasn't sure what was going to happen. And I, you know, in my head, the disease is like, oh, that's okay, you got this between now and when you find another sponsor. And it was just like so humbling to see that I don't have this without a sponsor. Like it is so necessary, this relationship that we have as sponsor and sponsee. And as I was going through the process of finding a new sponsor, I saw all that old food compulsion just coming right back. And I call it the pause button. I was like, no matter how many years or months or days that I have like a reprieve, as soon as it starts again, it starts exactly where I left off and then just continues to multiply exponentially. It gets so much worse. And it's not like a slow trickle that may have happened when I first realized I had food compulsion. It was just like right back where I left off. So that was definitely eye-opening for me to see. And when I think about the sneakiness of the disease, I when my mind plays a trick and says, oh, you got this. This is, you know, like, oh, what if, you know, the slippery slope. What if we try this or do that? And, you know, I'm not sticking to the program as it's laid out. So quickly I can fall back. And when I think of how I eat, my relationship with food, it's not neutral completely. And if I compare that to how I feel about alcohol, like I really, you know, like I, that is not a disease I have, thankfully. And so if my relationship with alcohol is absolutely neutral, I could give or take it. I don't really, you know, sure, maybe I'll have a drink of something, maybe not. I mean, I really just don't care. And that is so not the same with food. So that was an eye-opening thing for me to realize when I looked at my relationship to food compared to my relationship to alcohol. You know, two big different kind of addictions that can happen. And it just highlighted for me how not neutral I am. This is Melanie in California. Thanks for letting me share.
Oh, thanks. I was just going to ask you where you're from. Thanks, Melanie, for sharing today. And next up is Noel E., and then I'll take a couple more names. Go ahead, Noel.
Good morning. Can I be heard?
You loud and clear. Go ahead.
Great. Hi, everyone. Thank you for your service. This is Noel E., gratefully recovered here in Louisiana. And I don't know if you can hear it through the line, God, but I'm smiling ear to ear because man, God is so good because I just bought a cookbook. I went to my high school reunion on Saturday and was with a couple of normal eaters talking about food, you know, not identifying as someone in program, but people ask a lot, like, what are you doing? You look great, whatever. And they started talking about this cookbook. I was like, oh, maybe I can buy a cookbook. That seems like a good one. And I just got it in the mail this morning. And like open it up, and of course, like every, you know, every page is like full of sugar and all the things I can't eat. But I was having that experience in that conversation. I was like, oh, maybe I could be like these girls and just modify these recipes. But it's so good in the way that God brought this into my consciousness right now, and also how beautiful this life is that I immediately, as I was reading this paragraph, you know, thought of how can I turn this into service? And I thought of someone that I know I can gift this cookbook to. So God's got a plan for everything. And my higher power knows how I learn. And it's like through experience, through action. Even if it is like a, you know, a compulsive slip of buying a cookbook, which I should say, I've never bought a cookbook in my life. So, I'm really grateful for being an alcoholic, for being an addict, and for that being like confirmed every day, knowing that I belong here and that I get to do this work and that I get to charge this road and that it turns every experience into almost like almost like bliss. I mean, I can't tell you how hard I started to laugh when we read this, when I read this paragraph, because I was like, oh my gosh, I just opened that cookbook. So, yeah, I hope everybody has a beautiful abstinent day, and at some point in the day you laugh super hard, because that's healing. With that, I pass.
Hey, thanks so much, Noelle, and so glad to know that I'm not alone with all these shares, and I think we have time for two more. Who else would like to share this morning?
This is Deb E. in Montana.
Martha Deb O. E. And Martha, oh, hey, Martha.
Deb C.
Hey,
from Las Vegas.
Okay, I got the Las Vegas. Let's try these two. We may have time for Las Vegas, but I didn't get your name. But let's start with Debbie. Go ahead, Deb.
Thanks, guys. My name is Debbie. I'm in Montana, and I am a compulsive overeater. One of the blessings of looking at the paragraphs one at a time and carefully is that we get to really parse it, you know, just take it apart piece by piece. And today the phrase that caught my attention, thanks to the person who started us off, was no lurking notion. And so my sponsors in the past have taught me to look up the words that I think I know, because, of course, I think I know what all these main words mean. So as service to the group, I looked up the word lurking. And lurking, as defined, says remaining hidden so as to wait in ambush, presenting a threat even though barely there. Oh, my goodness, is that our food? Is that the voice of the things that we know that are not good for us, that are calling to us at times if we are not in complete abstinence? So that concept of lurking, I think about it. I wouldn't go off into the woods without my bear spray. Well, I'm not going to go off into my day without my higher power by my side. I need that to protect me and guide me. And then the other part of that phrase, the notion. I like this too because I didn't think about it. I thought I knew what notion meant. And the actual definition is an individual's conception or impression of something, especially if it's known, experienced, or imagined. Well, hello. The imagined got me and got me laughing. So, yes, I've had my good laugh for the day. I think I know what's good for me. And the reality is I do not know, because my mind has very different ideas about what my body needs. And the other part of that notion definition is that it's often whimsical. So it's that, oh, I could try. So I think in those two words, we need have no lurking notions. Boy, does that sum it up. If I can put aside my lurking notion, I'll be a happy, abstinent, compulsive overeater today. And with that, I'm going to pass. Thank you.
Hey, thanks so much. And I appreciated hearing that definition of lurking. Thanks, Deb. Martha, oh, you are up. Go ahead.
Hi, good morning, everyone. Can I be heard? This is Martha O. And thank you for being here. Thank you so much. Thank you for everyone for your service today, making this meeting possible. It's just really exactly what I needed. And I love all the shares so far. I love that idea of writing out no lurking notion. I put that at the top of my journal today. I'm going to put it on my fridge. For me, and I know a lot of people shared similar things, it's like, I came into this program through AA, and it's so black and white in that program for me in terms of, like, I don't even use mouthwash. I drive from Canada down to Trader Joe's to get, like, vanilla that doesn't have alcohol in it, and it's so obvious. It's just, but what I've really struggled with and what I'm learning through all of you and through all these amazing shares today is just how insidious, and I love that definition of lurking as well, because it's so it's so easy for me to reclassify things like, okay, no sugar, but how about this, or no chocolate bars, but how about these protein bars? And for me, the thing I just want to share, something that really helped me, and then I'll pass, is that idea. My sponsor talks a lot about quiet food. Is this quiet, or does it chatter to me? Is this food that leaves me feeling serene, or is this food that leaves me feeling antsy? Or is it food that I can take a few bites and stop thinking about, or is it food that keeps popping up in my head? So for me, that's way more helpful than certain ingredients or styles of cooking or whatever. It's like I just want to eat in a way that leaves me feeling peaceful and serene so I can do all the work that God has for me today so I can have a beautiful and peaceful and free day. I love that idea that freedom isn't free. That is absolutely true for me today. So today I'm just committing to all of you to do what I need to stay free and to enjoy the gift of freedom and neutrality that God keeps giving to me. Thank you so much, everyone. Have a beautiful, recovered day.
Thanks so much, Martha. And we do have time for the fellow from Las Vegas. I didn't catch your name, but go ahead and share. Star one to unmute.
Hi, I'm Janet from Las Vegas.
Hi,
good morning, everybody. Thank you for your service. This paragraph and the story before it just tells me that I have a disease, that I was born with this disease. It's not a choice on my part. That is permanent, fatal, and above all, progressive. Whether I eat and am abstinent or not, the disease progresses. This guy didn't drink for 25 years. And it didn't, his disease progressed whether he drank or not. So it goes to show I'm in a life and death situation here. And, my only hope is the grace of God, the power to help me, and that abstinence is my freedom from the disease for today. And I pray each day that I have a good abstinent day. And I agree with what somebody said, lonely, tired, angry. Then our resistance is not high. We make bad choices when we're too tired and too lonely and too angry. And so it's to my benefit to care for myself so that I can live free today. So love you all. Thank you for being there. I guess the final thought is that I'm always an alcoholic. I am. It's never going to change. It's permanent. But grace of God can help me each day to live, to give me freedom from this disease today. So thank you all. Have a great day. Love you. Thank you. Bye.
Hey, Janet. Thanks so much. I'm glad you got a chance to share. That'll be our last share today. And thank you, everyone, for just such a wonderful meeting. So grateful for a vision for you. And now we will close with the reading from the big book on page 164, followed by the Serenity Prayer. Will Adrian M. please read a vision for you?
Hi, everyone. Adrian M., compulsive overeater out of Florida. Our book is meant to be suggestive only. We realize we know only a little. God will constantly disclose more to you and to us. Ask him in your morning meditation what you can do each day for the man who is still sick. The answers will come if your own house is in order. But obviously you cannot transmit something you haven't got. See to it that your relationship with him is right, and great events will come to pass for you and countless others. This is the great fact for us. Abandon yourself to God as you understand God. Admit your faults to him and to your fellows. Clear away the wreckage of your past. Give freely of what you find and join us. we shall be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit, and you will surely meet some of us as you trudge the road of happy destiny. May God bless you and keep you until then. I pass.